evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, December 1st, 2023. People living with HIV in South Sudan say life has become challenging due to the ongoing economic crisis in the country.
It is deepening and worsening the economic livelihood, the status of HIV and TB, and they are facing hunger and starvation with no social income.
And the United Nations mission in South Sudan expresses concerns regarding the violence in Leer County.
The special representative of the Secretary General and head of ANMIS, Mr. Nicholas Hesom, said, "I am very concerned by the reports of youth being mobilized and of defections by some armed personnel which go against the very spirit of the revitalized peace agreement."
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. On this World AIDS Day, people living with HIV in South Sudan say life has become more difficult given the current economic crisis marked by food shortages and high commodity prices. The head of the South Sudan Network of People Living with HIV says people living with the virus face several challenges, including a lack of food. For VOA News, Juliana Shepai files this report from Juba.
Loale Laila Loale, executive director of the South Sudan Network of People Living with HIV, says the key challenges facing people living with HIV is a lack of ways to make a living.
The current economic crisis has caused more harm to people living with AIDS and TB and affected communities. It is deepening and worsening the economic livelihood, the status of HIV and TB, hence they are facing hunger and starvation with no source of income, without any saving, leading to the defaulting in treatment, and as a result, people are dying, and also they spread HIV AIDS because they are not receiving the services. They are not turning up because of being hungry.
Loale added that the orphans of people who have succumbed to AIDS are falling behind with education because they lack school fees and people to support them financially.
National HIV response is to address issues such as stigma and discrimination. We know very well that stigma is the key problem that leads people to die. So if we don't address, we need to address the stigma and discrimination, sexual harassment, gender-based violence, including rape. That is still existing in South Sudan. We always hear raping all over the corners of South Sudan, and this rape must be brought to an end.
A resident who spoke to VOA on conditions of anonymity for fear of being stigmatized over their HIV status says, among other challenges, people living with HIV face discrimination at workplaces, adding that people who disclose their status sometimes get fired. The resident says, South Sudan has a weak health sector with limited trained personnel and limited organizational and technical capacity to support people living with HIV and tuberculosis. This often leads to poor quality service for supporting people living with HIV. Statistics for 2022 published on the UNAIDS website indicates that 160,000 people were living with HIV in South Sudan. The statistics shows that last year in South Sudan, 150,000 adults aged 15 and above were living with HIV, while 15,000 children under the age of 14 were living with the virus. The statistics also shows that 1.9% of people aged 15 to 49 had HIV. The undersecretary in the South Sudan Health Ministry, Adair Machar Adair, says the government has limited funds which reduces its capacity to support the country's HIV response.
In South Sudan, HIV remains a major public health issue with prevalence of 1.9. The highest infection rates are seen in Greater Equatorial Region and lowest in the Upper Nile Region.
This year, World AIDS Day is being commemorated under the theme, Let Community Lead. Loale urges South Sudan to allow people living with HIV to lead programs aimed at supporting people affected by the virus rather than involving people who are not infected to make decisions for them. Hussein Abdulbaghi, South Sudan Vice President in charge of the Government Service Cluster, praised the South Sudan Network of People Living with HIV for the group's unity. Abdulbaghi urged communities to not discriminate against people living with HIV.
Fight against stigma will enable the HIV patient to work comfortably to the health facility to take their drugs. It is our moral responsibility to embrace positive individuals and encourage them to live freely among ourselves. We need to further encourage them to speak about their status and motivate members of their communities to establish their status. Such a strong initiative shall help curb the rate of infection and concurrently eliminate stigma in the society.
Statistics from South Sudan Health Ministry shows that the number of people who know their HIV status increased from 35% in 2021 to 40% in 2022. The Health Ministry also confirms the number of people receiving antiretroviral treatment rose from 27% in 2021 to 33% in 2022. For VOA News, I am Juliana Sherpai, reporting from Juba.
It's still on World AIDS Day. The U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, was established in 2003 by then-President George W. Bush to address the devastation caused by HIV/AIDS, particularly in heavily affected regions. Since then, over $100 billion has been invested in the global HIV/AIDS response, saving 25 million lives and preventing millions of HIV infections, according to U.S. government data. Ambassador-at-Large John Nkengasuo, U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and a Special Representative for the Health Diplomacy, tells VOA's Lenore Madu that PEPFAR has been a cornerstone in the global fight against HIV/AIDS.
If we just imagine 20 years ago what HIV was doing on the continent of Africa, it was a symbol of hopelessness at that time because nobody knew what to do. The public health experts and doctors could diagnose HIV, but that was the end of the story. It was a death sentence. PEPFAR came in and in 20 years has saved about 25 million lives, prevented HIV infections from infected mothers to infants in the tune of over 5.5 million. So I don't know of any intervention in the history of infectious diseases in this decade that has led to such a significant impact and outcome.
When we look at communities, public and private partnership, mm-hmm. what makes a program like PEPFAR strong when it comes to implementing it on the ground? Because it's one thing to have the money, to have the idea. Yeah. It's another thing to take it to the people.
Absolutely. The country's leadership has to be strong and committed. Just a few weeks ago, the former president of Botswana, President Festus Moha, wrote a piece on the Hill, the news magazine. And he said, the title of that was, "Thanks to PEPFAR, our country was going to be extinct." That is so powerful. That is leadership. President Festus Moha was the first president who went to the United Nations, took the floor and said, "HIV/AIDS is going to extinct my country. I need help." So that is country leadership. It requires sustained engagement, because the results we've seen in PEPFAR is because we've been there for 20 years, supporting the leadership role and commitment of countries. It requires partnerships that PEPFAR is supporting countries, but you also have other partners like the Global Fund working there, the World Bank and others working together. But very importantly, it has to be driven by data. It has to be driven by evidence. I mean, who is infected? Where is that person infected? So that we apply the resources very efficiently.
How do communities take ownership of their health and be part of the solution when it comes to fighting a pandemic, an epidemic like the HIV/AIDS crisis, even drawing from the experience with COVID as well?
During HIV response, where we've made progress and countries that have made significant progress are countries that have embraced the community very early on. Without the communities, there's hardly any vehicle that can reach a broader audience in these communities that we are trying to serve than the community themselves. It should actually be community leadership, not just community engagement. When community leads, we make progress.
What do you see as some of the main challenges today in Africa when it comes to the fight against HIV/AIDS?
We've come a long way in partnering with several governments in Africa to fight HIV/AIDS. But for instance, one challenge we have is the adolescent girls and young women the rates of new infections in some countries is about six times higher amongst adolescent girls and young women than in the corresponding age in boys or men. Second, we have to look at children. In children, we are still looking at 50-50-50, which is 50% of children who are infected are aware of their status, 50% who know their status are under treatment, and 50% viral suppression. Whereas in adults, in some countries, they are, in about eight countries in Africa, they have exceeded the 395. That is 95% of people knowing their status, 95% on treatment, and 95% viral suppression. We've made great progress, but that progress is fragile. That if we do not maintain those millions of people that are on treatment, HIV will come back.
That's Ambassador at Large John Kengaso, U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and a Special Representative for Health Diplomacy, is speaking with VOA's Lenore Madu. The United Nations mission in South Sudan is calling for an end to fighting and mobilization in Unity State's Leer County. ONMI says its peacekeepers have increased patrols in the affected areas to defuse tensions and support local authorities to restore security and calm. Charlton Doki reports for VOA from Juba.
Fighting broke out in Kaigai of Leer County on Tuesday between SPLA-IO forces loyal to First Vice President Riek Machar and former rebels loyal to Lieutenant General Simon Magwek Guy, who defected to the South Sudan Army early last month. Thousands were displaced and an unknown number of forces were killed and injured. In a statement issued Thursday, the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, confirmed that thousands of civilians fled their homes in the affected areas and are seeking refuge in Leer Town. Ben Dotseimalo is the UNMISS Chief of Public Information.
The Special Representative of the Secretary-General and Head of UNMISS, Mr. Nicholas Hesom, said, "I am very concerned by the reports of youth being mobilized and of defections by some armed personnel which go against the very spirit of the revitalized peace agreement." And he added, "This can destroy the trust and gains between parties to the peace process and worsen the humanitarian situation in Unity State and in the country."
Lieutenant General Simon Magwek Guy, who is a former SPLA-IO Sector 2 commander in Unity State, defected to the South Sudan Army in early October. Since then, the SPLA-IO has repeatedly accused General Guy of planning to attack its positions in Unity State. Last week, UNMISS Chief Hesom criticized military defections in the country.
UNMISS remains concerned that military defections threaten and undermine the much-needed trust between the parties. One of the critical lessons from the conflict in Sudan is that a country should have a single and unified security apparatus.
UNMISS has been urging the parties to the conflict to take steps to de-escalate the violence and resolve their disputes peacefully. The peacekeeping mission praised and named Unity State authorities for responding quickly to de-escalate tensions in the area. Malo says the mission has increased its patrols in Leer in order to calm tensions and support local authorities in their efforts to restore peace in the area.
The mission is also engaging with officials of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, SPLM, and SPLM-IO, as well as political and military authorities across the state to ensure restraint and order.
South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission officials in Leer County say there is no fighting in the area as of today, but thousands of people remain displaced. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we have listener comments lined up for you. Stay tuned.
A around the world, people are marking the United Nations 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Help us mark the work to end violence against women by sharing your thoughts on VOA's English to Africa radio programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, +1 202 258 3076, before December 10th. Tell us what is being done in your community to fight gender-based violence and tell us why this issue is important to you. That number again is +1 202 258 3076.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. A program manager with the nonprofit organization ACROSS says several aid agencies are providing assistance to Sudanese refugees residing in the Gorom refugee camp in Juba County. Levi Mogayona highlights that a consortium of agencies is actively addressing the diverse needs of the refugees. Yona emphasizes the multitude of needs among the refugees and underscores the diligent efforts of humanitarian aid agencies in delivering services to the Sudanese refugees at Gorom. He spoke with my colleague, John Tanza.
Here in Gorom, we have integrated response in terms of health, wash. We do also have education services, and particularly we are focusing on primary education and early child development. And also we do also provide services in livelihood sector. And of course, the very important sector is the protection sector. We focus on GBV response, child protection, and also legal assistance to refugees. And also community service.
Let's talk about the education sector. Spoke with some leaders here and they're saying their children have no place to go.
Yeah, indeed, the school was overwhelmed with the influx of the Sudanese refugees in Gorom. This settlement is meant to accommodate only up to 2,500. But with the coming of the Sudanese refugees, the number has quadrupled. Now we have over 8,000 refugees in this settlement. So indeed, we have tried with UNHCR support and other partners to increase the capacity of the school. We are in the process gradually to see to it that learning spaces are increased. Also, teachers are also increased. And at the same time, also the levels of English language is improved because, you know, the learners who come from Sudan, they are Arabic pattern background, and they need their language need to be improved. So we have embarked on that program of increasing the literacy and the language proficiency.
And talk to me about the capacity and the funding opportunities for you to take care of these 9,000 people. It's not easy.
Yes.
I can see it's only across here.
Yes, yeah.
What other agencies are here?
Yeah.
Implementing your efforts.
I must say, during the past 4 or 5 months, when we start receiving refugees from Sudan here, there are quite a number of other partners who have showed interest giving emergency support. And we can say for Africa, they have provided food, this mana pack, which has bridged the gap that existed because WFP only provide 50% of food ratio to refugees. So that support from for Africa, the Mana Park has really supported. But also we had other agencies who also contributed to drill water, which was a significant support to bridge the gap of water supply in the camp. And then also there are other partners who have brought in one-off donation of food for vulnerable refugees, which also contributed to support the gap that existed in the camp.
And the recurring message that I hear from the refugees here is that whatever is given to them is not enough.
someone talking about the process of registration, the process of being given materials for putting up a tent, the process of being integrated into the system takes so long. Why?
No, for the registration process, it is the mandate of the government and the UNHCR to do that. And up to now, the registration was good. It's only there are people who came after the registration of the first batch. Those ones were put on hold until when the registration team finished with the other nationalities like the Ethiopians and the Eritreans. So in terms of the process, it has been expedited because in 2 months we were able to finish the caseload of the 9,000. So that shows that there was a process that has been expedited. In terms of services, of course, WFP provides 50% of food ratio. This is a global policy. We don't have any thing to do there. But what we do as partners and UNHCR, we encourage other partners to come in to bridge the gap so that at least refugees can get something adequate to push them in a month.
That's Levi Mogayona, program manager with the nonprofit organization Across. He was in conversation with my colleague John Tanza during his recent visit to Juba. Many of you wrote to us this week about news and events we covered in this broadcast. We start with Antonio Magweg Machar in Maria Lau Payam, who writes about World AIDS Day today, saying, "Hello, John Tanza and Nabil. HIV infection in our country, South Sudan, is increasing at an alarming rate. According to the data, every Payam countywide is reporting HIV cases. The Minister of Health and the partners must provide maximum funding for the HIV/AIDS program so that the civil population is aware of HIV transmissions and prevention. Thanks." And commenting on the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence that we are currently observing, Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba says, "It's very necessary for all South Sudanese men to understand the power of women and let them go ahead to make themselves independent and powerful in the family and country. Gender equality is the first step to bring women empowerment to South Sudan. Men should not understand that women are made only to handle household chores or take responsibility for home and family." And commenting on the violence in Lerck County of Unity State, James Roy Majok from Unity State Bantu Town says, "Hi, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. I'm appealing to Second Lieutenant General Simon Magwegai Majak and Major General Doc Wanjang forces in Ler County not to engage with SPLA-IO forces to create panics across Unity State territorial integrity while people are implementing the durable peace agreement that was signed by warring parties." Also on the same topic, Tok Chuniyong Kwai from Juba says, "Hello, VOA. What happened in Lerck County is very bad news for the people of South Sudan, because this time it's not the time for war. It's time for the implementation of the peace agreement. I'm calling on the parties to the peace agreement to implement the peace agreement without any problems again in the country." This fan says, "Hello, VOA. I am Monluak Ajwaj Milek in Juba. I condemn the incident that happened in Kaikai Payam, Lerck County in Unity State, which took place on Tuesday morning, resulting in the loss of senior commander and many officers with soldiers from IO forces who defected to IG SPLA forces. I am urging Dr. Riek Machar to control his forces during the implementation of the peace agreement to reach elections peacefully, which will take place next year in 2024. All the best to South Sudan in the elections." Samuel Ray Majok in Yei writes, he writes about the ongoing COP28 climate summit in the United Arab Emirates. He says, "Hi, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The planned summit, which is going to be held in Dubai to address climate change and insecurity, is highly welcome because we common citizens are experiencing the pinch of this on the ground. Thanks." On to more global news. Martin Manuel Wugol in Juba writes, the death of diplomat Henry Alfred Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, is a major loss to the world of diplomacy. But he will be remembered as someone who disorganized Africa's oldest system of governance by redesigning it to reflect the model of the American system. The American system of diplomacy that undermined African values. May his soul rest in peace. Amen. Adesimon Seme in Yei writes, hello, John Tanza. It's a shame to hear civil servants not being paid their salaries for months, up until now when people are preparing for Christmas. I, therefore, call upon the Minister of Finance to have mercy and resolve the situation of the civil servants by paying their salaries. Otherwise, people will be discouraged to work in civil institutions. Thank you, VOA. Thomas Kuntoj in Old Fangak Bayam in Fangak County of Jongole State says, the relieving of Warap State Governor from his position is a wake-up call for the rest of the government officials holding positions. People who usually ignore threatening issues in their states or counties. Bravo, His Excellency the President. We encourage you to do the same for others who incited any type of insecurity in their states or counties. Martin Manuel Wugol in Juba says, hello, John and Nabil. Good morning. Kindly extend my heartfelt condolences, or rather congratulations, to South Sudan as a country and to the person of our president, His Excellency General Salva Kiir Mayardit, upon assuming the leadership of the East African community, tasked to ensure integration and opening up the East Africa market for prosperity for the people of East Africa as a bloc capable of promoting unity among the African people. Awet Awet in Juba says, hello, Nabil and John Tanza. I would like to congratulate President Kiir for taking the East African Community chairmanship for the first time since joining ESC bloc. So I wish him to endeavor to tackle infrastructure, free movement and trade tariffs among member states. This fan says, in the ongoing governance forum in Juba, I urge the government to look into the violence going on in Lehr County Unity State, Abyei Administrative Area, and other parts of South Sudan in order to address all these chaotic situations that are engulfed by violence in the country. However, the government should also do more to prevent more escalation and disasters among the citizens of South Sudan. Thanks, yours, Joel Philip Kwan, in Bor Town, Jongole State. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming. And that's all we have for you this Friday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Radio and Weasels featuring B2C and the song Gutamiza.
This love gone straight to the moon. The moon of my head, I'm daddy now with baby. Wambari na mukaku, mukano daddy, gina mukora mamu daddy. Nekari na munyumba ya mainja, na komere na misumari. Ah, your love is so original.
So original, so original.
I'm your host, Nabil Biagio, in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer Joe Gill, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
To your name on my face, you're so tempting. But even closer, cough like a smile on my face. Look at the cool of them. Sing up and dig it up, formula. Yes, I'm in a pumpy. I want to put your binocular. I'm a student, Jacoby Gang. So, Mr. Pulos, also, Mr. Singular. Maybe our love is never to rest. Cause real love is meant for the best.
Rock it, rock it, rock it, rock it.